The second type of power is what I call energizing power. The other word in there, energeo, which is working power. It's the power that God gives us through the Holy Spirit to live the life that he has called us to live. It's the energy. It's the divine energy. Can you imagine the energy that it took to energize the body of Christ, to revigorate the body of Christ, to bring up the body of Christ, that the Bible says that God the Father raised the Son, that the Holy Spirit raised the Son, that the Son raised himself. It took a manifestation of all of the Trinity to raise up the Son.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the exceeding greatness of his power toward us.
We need to be like that man, right? He believed in the resurrection. He believed. His mother-in-law was stone cold graveyard dead. But he believed that there was a man named Jesus who got up with all power in his hand. And so God is able to give life to that which is dead. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. I'd like to read these six verses to show this life that he's able to give to those who are in him. And you have he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. In which times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we had our manner and conversation of life in past times, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others, but God. Woo! But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love which he loved us, even when we were, what?
Dead.
Even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By the grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the power. The power who could see Bill Glaze, a sinner, that was out in the world doing all type of sin, who was dead in his trespasses and sin, that the same power came and gave him the ability to live a life that could please God. This power. Man, just think about this power. You, if you have any question about the power, just think about your life. Now, I know that everybody in here was not saved and sanctified and grew up in the church. Now, if you did, I tell people, you got a testimony. You got a testimony on the keeping power of God. You can go out and you can tell, God kept me from all that mess. God kept me from the world. You have a testimony. But then there's others of us who have another testimony. And our testimony is that we was out there in the world living a life apart from God and his Son, dead in our trespasses and sin, and that when we came to Christ, that he took our dead old nature and he gave life. And now we can understand, if nothing else, you have a testimony of resurrection power. Oh, let me say that again. You have a testimony of resurrection power. That's what the resurrection power is all about. This is something that the unsaved individual doesn't have. You know, people in the world think that they have life. But let me tell you this, all they have is fake life. They don't have the life that a person in Christ has. We not only have bios life, which is human life, we have zoe life, which is spiritual life, everlasting life. We have a life that the world does not share with us. And it's all because of this resurrection power. Some people, as I said, they let the devil make them think that they have life. Y'all heard the story about these two families that were constantly feuding with one another. And they were neighbors. And so one family decided they would go on vacation to try to ease some of the tension. And while they were gone, the other family noticed that their dog had a rabbit in his mouth. And he was coming back across to their yard, and they realized that it was the neighbor's rabbit. And then when they looked, they saw that the rabbit was dead. Now they said, there's a lot of tension between us. And if they see that, you know, our dog, you know, killed their rabbit, it's really going to heighten this tension. So what they did, they cleaned the rabbit up, gave the rabbit a bath, took their hair dryer, blew the rabbit out, and they took the rabbit and put it back in its cage. And so when the family came home from vacation, they heard all kind of screaming over in the backyard. And the neighbors ran over there and said, "What's wrong? Did your rabbit die?" And the neighbor said, "Before we left to go on vacation, our rabbit died and we buried it. And now it's back in the cage again." That's a false resurrection. That's what the devil does. The devil lets people blow their hair. He gives them a bath. He puffs them up and he sets them back in the cage. But they don't have the life that Christ gives. Only Christ can give eternal life. Only Christ can give Zoe life. Only Christ can give the life that people can have to please God. And it's through this resurrection power. My third point this morning, and I'm done, and that is the inclusiveness of the power. The inclusiveness of the power. We see the ignorance of the power, the infusion of the power. And now let's look at the inclusiveness of the power. Look at verse, let me get there. Look at verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" Powerful. This is deep. In that one verse, Paul uses four words for power. And each one of those words have a different meaning. The first word he uses is the word dunamis. And this is enabling power. You may have heard the analogy giving that word dunamis is where we get the English word dynamite from. And so this is power that enables. This power gives a person the ability to be able to do certain tasks. That when Christ rose from the dead, you receive dunamis power. Amen. You receive the power to be able to do what God calls you to do. There's no excuse. Nobody can stand and say that I didn't have the ability. I didn't have the resources. I didn't have the power. That's what the resurrection was all about. Not only for you to have salvation, but for you to live a life where you are able to do what God asks you to do. Again, another one of my illustrations. I know some of y'all get tired of hearing it, but there's new people here that haven't heard it. I've shared my testimony how I was deathly afraid to do any public speaking. I mean, I hated to have to stand before a group of people and speak. And when I was in college, I took a class where everybody had to give a presentation. And for some reason, I ended up at the end of the of the class as far as the person giving the presentation. I was the last one. And so I sat there the whole semester while people gave their speeches. And I said to myself, one day you're going to be up there. And the closer that day got, the more nervous I got, the less sleep I got. And when I stood up there to give my speech, I had my piece of paper, and I was shaking just like that. And my voice was cracking, and I was nervous, and I was sweating. And after I gave that speech, I said, I don't ever want to do that again. And so I looked in the catalog at the school to see if there were any more classes that required speaking, because I didn't want to speak. And I wasn't going to take a class. A couple years later, God called me to preach. And that's all I do now, is stand before people and speak. That's dunamis. I didn't have the ability to stand and speak. I didn't have that ability. I got nervous. I lost my train of thought. I was a mess. But when God calls you to do something, because Christ has risen from the dead, he gives you the power and the ability to be able to do it. And I like that song, Ordinary People. Just ordinary people. God uses and chooses plain old, everyday, ordinary people. People just like you and me who are willing to do what he commands. God uses people who will give their all, no matter how small your all may seem to you, because little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. Just like that little lad who gave Jesus all he had. How the multitudes were fed with the fish and loaves of bread. What you have may not seem much, but when you yield it to the touch of the master's loving hand, then you will understand, Pastor Glaze will understand, that your life will never be. That's dunamis power. That's the ability to do what God has called us to do. This is the same power that he used when he raised up Christ from the dead. The second type of power is what I call energizing power. The other word in there, energeo, which is working power. It's the power that God gives us through the Holy Spirit to live the life that he has called us to live. It's the energy. It's the divine energy. Can you imagine the energy that it took to energize the body of Christ, to revigorate the body of Christ, to bring up the body of Christ, that the Bible says that God the Father raised the Son, that the Holy Spirit raised the Son, that the Son raised himself. It took a manifestation of all of the Trinity to raise up the Son. That's energeo. That's energy. That's life-changing power. The power is not of us. Every time I stand to preach, I just say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you to touch me. You know, all of us, we're getting older. We tend to forget things. We tend not to remember things. And I say, Lord, when I stand up to preach, let me say what you want me to say. Lord, if I'm supposed to forget something, let me forget what you want me to forget. Lord, it's your energy. It's your power. And the only way that we can serve is through the energy and the power of God. The same energy that got Christ up from the dead. There was a soldier who single-handedly defeated the enemy. And the king told a servant, bring me the sword that can defeat this enemy. I want to see that sword. And so the servant brought him the sword. And he said, that's just like any other sword. Take it away. And the servant said, ah, but you ought to see the arm that yielded the sword. And that's the way we are. Oh, praise God. I'm just an ordinary sword. I'm just a piece of flesh, and I'm just bones. I'm just an ordinary sword. You're just an ordinary sword. Oh, but when we think of the arm that wields the sword, the power that God infuses in us to be able to do his will, that's inner gallop. Man, you think Paul thought about, you think the Holy Spirit, you think God orchestrated this 19th verse where he puts these four words for power in there, and then he follows it up in the next verse to say that's the same power that he used when he raised Christ from the dead? Saints, I think God's trying to tell us something this morning. I think he's trying to tell us something this morning, on this Resurrection Sunday morning. He's trying to tell us something. Why are you walking around weak, anemic, discouraged, and defeated when you got all this power? The third word that he uses in this passage is the word kratos. And this is overcoming power. This power speaks of dominion. It means to have dominion. And why is it that people are walking around addicted to all type of substances, insecure, with fears, with self-doubts, with unforgiveness, with bitterness in their heart? See, God gave us kratos power, dominion, for us to be able to dominate over the things in our life that hold us back, that addict us. If there's a person dealing with addiction, then what they need to do is tap into that kratos power. All right? And so this kratos power is this power that overcomes addiction. As I was getting ready to say, you know, a person that's addicted to drugs, what they need is kratos. They need this power to be able to have dominion over the thing that's holding them back. And so Jesus makes this power available. And then the final power that we see he uses here, he uses the word power, and this is God's power. This is God's enabling power. You remember over there? Well, let's look over there in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Same word used there, ixthus, God's enabling power. Now, this is the greatest power of all, because the first three powers can be resident within us. The first three powers that when the Holy Spirit came, he gave us that dunamis power. He gave us that energeo power. He gave us that kratos power. But this ichthos power only comes from God. You can only get it from God. When you come to the end of your resources and you need a miracle, that's where the power of God comes in. When things happen beyond your control and you need a move of God, that's where this power comes in. Let me show you about this power. If you'll go to that next slide. There's a question. Who rolled the stone away? When Jesus was in the tomb, who rolled the stone away? Some people said that the women rolled the stone away. But they didn't do it. They were too weak. As they were going there, what did they ask themselves? They said, "Who will move the stone for us?" Somebody said the disciples moved the stone. But they didn't move the stone because they fled whenever Christ was taken in the garden. They ran, so they were too afraid. Some people said the Jews moved the stone. Why would they move the stone? They wanted Jesus dead. They didn't want to see him resurrected. That would have went against everything they said. Somebody said the Romans moved the stone. But the Romans were the one that sealed the tomb, and they would have been put to death had they allowed the grave to be robbed.
Somebody said, well, grave robbers came and took the body of Jesus. Well, grave robbers didn't have the power. And again, they would have had to deal with the guards. And then the guards that protected it, they didn't take it because they would have been under death watch. So who rolled the stone? Look what God does. God sent a mighty angel. And I believe that, as I heard Dr. E.V. Hill say, that the angel really didn't even have to push the stone. He just came down from heaven. Whoosh, and when he came down, the wind from his wings just blew the stone away from the grave. That's ichthus power. That's the power of God. The power of God that the women couldn't move. Nobody else could move it by themselves. And only an angel. God sent an angel. And sometimes, saints, when we get to situations in our life where it seems like we have come to the end of our resources and we realize that there's nothing else that we can do in our own might, in our own strength, it is then that we use the expression, let go and let God. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. And Paul tells us that the same power that brought Christ up from the dead is available to you. Are you tapping into the power? Are you tapping into the power? A minister in Italy saw the grave of a man who died centuries before. The man was completely against Christianity. He was so much against Christianity that he said that if there's a resurrection, I don't want to be raised. And so he went and found the heaviest slab that he could find. And he said, when I die, I want you to put this over my grave because I don't want my body being resurrected. As a matter of fact, he put a saying, or he carved the words on the slab, I do not want to be raised from the dead. I don't believe in it. And that was on the slab. Years later, an acorn or something must have fallen underneath the slab. And this acorn grew into a tall oak tree. It split that slab of concrete wide open. And over this man's grave was a tall oak tree. If an acorn with biological power, biological life, can split a slab of stone in two, how much more can God's resurrection power transform our lives? If this little acorn can come up out of the ground and split that slab of stone, how much more can the power of God move the immovable things in our lives? If this small acorn can come up and break the pieces, this stone slab, how much more can the power of God help us to live a life that pleases Him? If this small acorn can come up and rise and split this stone, how much more can we have dominion over our addictions, over the things that would seek to hold us back? If a small acorn with biological life can do that, how much more can the child of God with resurrection power do when we tap into that resource?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Killed for Trying to Help. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, the exceeding greatness of His power toward us, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request the exceeding greatness of His power toward us. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the exceeding greatness of His power toward us. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.